Join me, please, in Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. You know, it'd be easy to say, no words are needed now. We've sung together. Song leaders, Brent leading us in rich songs that get us to think about the mercy, the grace, the pardon, and the liberty, even using weird phrases, at least weird to me, sweet communion, the precious feast. You understand, for me, I have a hard time getting over the fact that the feast is a little square of bread and a sip. Precious feast, but there it is. That's in fact what we have to wrestle with, and we will. In fact, I want to do that in Philippians 2. There's a in chapter 2, at the beginning of the chapter, Paul seeks to encourage the people in Philippi to be of one mind, to take care of one another, to think more highly of one another than oneself. And he extends that thinking and beginning in verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5. And there he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Notice what Paul is doing there. It's I would call it the go big or go home mode. He's saying, look, I'm trying to get you to be nice to each other, but to do that, I'm bringing out the heavy artillery. I'm wanting you to know, be like Jesus. So what he's doing is upping the game. He's wanting people to understand that this occasion of you living together is not some little fuss that we have to kind of reckon with. No, it is big. I'm inviting you to think like Jesus thinks, who empties himself and humbles himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the point of death, even death of the cross. Turn with me now. I want to show you something I think parallel is happening. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, and here we come to a familiar passage. You remember, the people in Corinth are really good at messing up, right? There's almost no part of life together that they don't mess up some way. And so much of this letter is taken up with correction. I see this and you change it. I see this, change it. And that's what we find here in 1 Corinthians 11. They've messed up the Lord's Supper. And so we know that this is a familiar place where you turn and hear Paul give an account. Paul, who was not part of that original group, but he says, I'm now in chapter 11, in verse 23, he says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. See, all right? I got it. I gave it to you. You have already heard it. I'm reviewing with you something that you know. Why do I do that? Because you've messed up. And what we're doing this morning, I don't think we messed it up. I think we're doing well. But we need to be reminded, because we can mess it up. Now, for us, I don't think of too much of a concern right now that we'll mess it up in our mode and our manner of presenting the Lord's Supper. But we can mess up by doing what we just saw in Philippians. You think too small about things. I want you to up the game. I want you to understand that this is not something that you can turn into your festivities the way you want. I want you to see that we're doing something different here. And look what he says at the end of that, and what you see now on the monitor. In verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim his death until he comes." As you know, we've gone through a number of verbs as we've thought about this occasion together. We remember, right? Jesus gently whispers, "Do this in my memory." But Paul is less gentle. Paul declares what's happening here. He says, this little gesture, this occasion, which you have turned into faction and excess, is actually a proclamation of the death of Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, here and now, we proclaim the death of Jesus. He died. He died horribly. He died humiliatingly. He died submissively. He died sacrificially. He was no victim. He was no pawn of historical forces. No victim of the playing out of the powers of the politics of the day. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh, the chosen one, able to summon legions of angels. And yet, he died, and we proclaim his death. We proclaim his death because he was also the faithful one. He was the one who said, "Not my will, but yours be done," and he died. And Paul, in this same book, push on over to chapter 15 with me. In this same book, Paul once again draws on this experience. Remember, he's taking people back into the past to see that the present is loaded with eternal significance. And this morning, we get to see that same thing. Language, very similar. Look at verse 3 of chapter 15. "I delivered to you." He just said that in 11. "I'm telling you again, I delivered to you as of the first importance what I also received from that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and he appeared." Now here it may just be a trick of the translation, but there are four verbs. Two are active and two are passive in this formulation in the English Standard Version. But there, Jesus died. It's not he was killed, he died. And then he was buried passively, and he was raised passively. And then he appeared, and he appeared, and he appeared. We're told here repeatedly, actively. I invite you to understand this morning that we declare the death of Jesus in what we do. I invite you to go back to Philippians 2 with me, and I want to think about the language here. So, seems to me exalted and invites our own exaltation of mind and understanding of what we're doing. Back to chapter 2 of Philippians, and I'm reading verse 9. "Therefore God," has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 that we proclaim the Lord's death. And here we celebrate and name him Lord as we participate in his communion, the sweet communion. Let us proclaim well morning.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we proclaim the death of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the perfect sacrifice to end all sacrifices, the body of a unique individual, perfect individual, an exemplary individual, broken upon the cross, willingly, according to your desire. Lord, help us to never take this sacrifice for granted. Help us to show our gratitude in the sacrifice of our will to your will in all things that we do. In Christ's name, amen.